morning I want to continue a series of sermons that I'm preaching through the summer from the 11th chapter, primarily from the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. You may know this book, this chapter, as the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's a list of men and women throughout the Old Testament who lived and experienced God by faith. But to understand the chapter, you have to always begin with the first verse. And we took some time to look at that a couple of weeks ago. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the author of Hebrews, who I'll refer to, by the way, as the pastor gives us a wonderful definition of what faith in the one true God is. One of the things that we said about faith is that the faith of the Bible is not faith in faith. It's faith in God. That's an important point, isn't it? Because our faith is only as powerful as its object. And our faith is in the one true, almighty, loving Heavenly Father. And so in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the pastor writes, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see." Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. To drive home the point that he's making, in verse 3, he says this, Hebrews 11 and 3. "By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." That's kind of an awkward sentence, so I like to change that a little bit. "What is seen was made by the invisible." So the pastor's point is this. As he's seeking to teach the people about faith, he just simply says, look around you. Look at yourself. Look at the world in which you exist. Look at the universe. It's visible. But it all came from the invisible. Of course, he's thinking of the creation story in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, where God spoke and the worlds came into being. It came out of the invisible. God is invisible. The Bible tells us that a number of times. Now, we have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that God does not have shape or form. It means that he is invisible to you and me with our human eyes. I believe, and I think the Bible teaches, that someday God is going to free us from these limited, sin-filled bodies and give us a new body not made with hands. And then we will be able to begin to behold God in all of his glory. But today, God is invisible to you and me. But that's the point of faith, isn't it? Though we know there's the invisible, we believe in the visible. The visible is proof of the invisible. And so that's where the pastor begins. And then in the rest of the chapter, he gives us example after example after example of men and women who lived by faith. Because one of the things we said when we talked about, when we introduced ourselves to the teachings on faith here, is that faith in the one true God, is not just a definition, it's not a theory, it's not an idea, it's something that's real in our lives. We have a faith that is a power, a presence in our lives that defines how we live and how we die. And so the pastor says, this is the definition. But for you to understand the definition, let me give you examples of men and women who lived by faith. He begins with Abel. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. He then makes reference to Enoch. And today, we want to come to the 7th verse of the 11th chapter, where it speaks of Noah. Now, we all probably know Noah here pretty well, don't we? Hebrews 11 and 7. "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." Noah. Pastor says, consider Noah. But to consider Noah, we have to go back to the Old Testament just for a little while. So we're going to go back to the 6th chapter of Genesis, where we read about Noah and the ark. I'm going to read just two verses from that chapter. Genesis 6, 8 and 9 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. This morning I want us to consider Noah's character as described here in this section. And then we'll go back to verse 7 of chapter 11 and consider how Noah demonstrates, how he lives out the faith in the one true God. Noah's character. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. What's that all about? The word favor there in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. Depending on what translation you're reading of the Bible this morning, you may see that sometimes it's actually written as grace. So you actually could say, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If indeed it is translated as grace, this would be the first reference in the Bible to grace. And we're not surprised that it would pop up here, because Noah, it seems, is living in the most hopeless, sin-filled time, when men and women have been overcome by the power of sin, have surrendered to the power of sin. And that is always when grace appears, isn't it? It's really the story of the Bible, isn't it? In the midst of sin, in the midst of weakness, in the midst of rebellion, grace appears. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. Now, grace, you probably know, always means unmerited favor. Favor that's shown to us that we don't earn, that we cannot earn, that we don't deserve. That's what grace is by its very definition. So if we read it that way, it's saying that Noah was chosen for God's favor, but we cannot merit that to Noah. This is the key, I think, to this whole story about Noah. That Noah was chosen for a great task, to say the very least. Noah received a very high calling indeed here, didn't he? He was required to have strength of character. But that choice by God was not a random choice. God didn't just simply count off a certain number of people and then say, okay, Noah, your number's up. You're the one that's got to do the job. God could have done that, right? Sometimes you see in the Bible, he actually does do that. Doesn't seem like that's what happened with Noah. Somehow God understood that Noah would respond in a positive way to the call. And what is it about Noah? What is it about Noah? Well, this scripture in Genesis 6, and of course the whole point the pastor is making in Hebrews 11, it's about his faith. Noah was chosen because he demonstrated faith. God knew that he could call him and he would respond and fulfill the call. He called him because of faith. So that verse says that Noah was a righteous man. You know that as we've been talking about faith, we keep talking about righteousness. Because as we're reminded in Hebrews 11, as Paul tells us, and also back in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, we find that the righteous will live by faith. So we can't talk about faith without talking about righteousness. But what is righteousness? What does it mean when it says Noah was righteous in the eyes of God? We saw that righteousness literally means being right with or at peace with God. Noah was in a place where he was right with or at peace with God. And God knew that he could call him. It's important to note the order of the call. He was called as righteous, and then we'll see, he begins to refer to his obedience. Noah was called because he was righteous, a man of faith, and then he obeyed. Let's get that order in our minds. He was righteous not because he obeyed. He obeyed because he was righteous. You catch that? He was righteous not because he obeyed. We often think of it that way. That somehow Noah was better than everybody else. And that's why God chose him. But grace says, no, that's not the case. God chose him because he was right. He was at peace with him. So he obeyed out of his righteousness, not the other way around. He obeyed out of his righteousness. He was right with God. How can we be right with God? The whole point of this chapter is by faith. By faith. Now, after saying that Noah was a righteous man, then he begins to deal with his morality or his character from that level by saying that Noah was blameless. Noah was blameless among the people of his time. This is Noah's reputation with God. And that reputation was evident to all who knew him. He was blameless among the people, not just with God, but among the people. As they looked at his life, they saw that his life was different. If we were to read further in Genesis chapter 6, this is how the society was described at that time. God says the thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time. The earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. But Noah stood out as being different. Noah stood out as being different. Noah was the courageous antithesis of the reigning values of the day. Noah was willing to live a countercultural life. Noah was willing to swim against the current. Noah was, we would say in New Testament terms, Noah was living out the values of the kingdom of God while he was walking in the kingdom of man. That's the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? In Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That is the values of the kingdom of God. We don't wait until we actually get to heaven, so to speak, to that kingdom to begin to live out those values. We live out the values of the kingdom of God even as we're walking in the kingdom of man. So Noah stood out as different. He stood out as different. He stood out as righteous and blameless before the people. Now let's understand the word blameless. The word blameless there doesn't mean without fault. It is a word that would come to be used to describe the sacrificial animals that were brought to God. They were to bring the blameless animals. Didn't mean that they're without fault. Is there anything in this fallen world without fault that's perfect? No. We'd look forever if we look for that. But what made them blameless was that they were pleasing to God. It was the kind of offering that God required, that God asked for. We saw that in the story of Abel and Cain, how Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was not. It's an offering that's pleasing to God. So when we see here that Noah was blameless, again, it's talking about his righteousness. He was pleasing to God. But by living that out, that righteousness out in obedience, he stood out as a man of godly character. And so it says in Genesis 6 and 8, he walked faithfully with God. He walked faithfully with God. The word for walked there is an important word. For many years as a younger Christian, before I really began to study the Bible, I thought to walk with God meant to follow him. And it does mean that, but it means more. I thought to walk with God means to obey him. It does mean that, but it means more than that. I thought to walk with God meant to do the right and good things that God has called me to do. It does mean that, but it means more than that. The word walk there in the Hebrew actually could be translated as commune. Commune or communion. Noah didn't just follow God. He didn't just obey him. He communed with him. Isn't that the kind of experience we want with God? We want to follow him. We want to obey him. But most of all, we want to commune with him. We want to experience him. We want to know his reality in our life and our experience. Isn't that a beautiful definition of Noah? That he knew God, he was experiencing God, he was communing with God, he was living by faith, which was demonstrated through obedience, which was experienced as righteousness. So we see Noah's character. Now let's go back to chapter 11 of Hebrews and verse 7 and see how Noah expressed his faith according to the pastor. And the first thing we note is that Noah heard the voice of God. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen. Noah heard the voice of God. God said to Noah, we saw there in Genesis chapter 6. God, the living God, Our loving Heavenly Father speaks. Do you believe it? Do you believe? Are you convinced of it? He speaks. Now this room is, if it wasn't for me up here slapping my jaws, as they say down south, this room would be very quiet. But you probably know that actually this room was filled with noise. There are all kinds of voices. There's music. There's sporting events. Everything is in the air. And if one of us had one of those handheld transistors and we turned on the power and dialed the frequency, we'd hear it, wouldn't we? There's all kinds of voices in this room, electronic voices. I often think that's sort of like God speaking. God is speaking. He's speaking through His Word. He's speaking through brothers and sisters in Christ. He's speaking through His Holy Spirit's presence in our life. He is speaking. The question isn't, is God speaking? The question is, am I tuned to the right frequency to hear Him? And it's obvious from this chapter, the frequency is faith, isn't it? When I approach Him by faith, my ears, my heart, my spirit, my mind, my life hears and responds to God. And responds is an important point there. Noah heard God. How do we know Noah heard God? Not because Noah said, I heard God, but because he obeyed Him, right? He actually went and did what God said. So we can say, yes, Noah did actually hear the voice of God. So to hear Him is to respond to Him in obedience. Noah heard God's voice. And then the pastor writes, and he saw things not yet seen. That's the very heart of faith, isn't it? He saw things not yet seen. Faith is the assurance of what we do not see. No one had ever seen a flood in Noah's time. No one had ever seen an ark. But Noah, obviously, saw it clearly. He saw it clearly. Because faith in the one true God brings substance to what seems like that which is invisible. Noah saw it. He must have seen it so clearly that he knew exactly what God wanted him to do, and he obeyed. Faith enables us to hear the things of God, to see the things of God, and then the pastor goes on to say, he acted out of holy fear. We saw when we introduced this chapter that faith and fear of God go hand in hand. By fear of God, we mean, of course, reverence. An understanding or a recognition of who God is and who I am in relation to God. A proper understanding of that. So Noah was filled with holy fear, with reverence, deep reverence. Noah was asked to do a crazy thing. Right? That's the whole point of that story, isn't it? It seemed like a crazy thing to build an ark, to prepare for a flood that would flood the world. It's a crazy thing. But it wasn't crazy to Noah. Why? Because Noah saw a God who could do the impossible. Noah saw a God who could do that which we can't even understand or begin to describe. Isn't that the kind of God we want to see this morning? We want to see a God that's beyond our description. We want to see a God who can do the impossible. We want to see a God who is almighty and sovereign. And when we see a God like that and we act on faith, it's not crazy. Now the world may tell you it's crazy. And I am guessing there are people in this room who have had people in their lives say to you, you're crazy. Because you're acting by faith. Right? But you're not crazy if you see the true God. If you behold the wonder of our God. That's the most reasonable thing to do, isn't it? Is to follow Him. So he acted out of holy fear. And then I love this line. It says he condemned the world. He condemned the world. How did Noah condemn the world? Noah was not the judge any more than you or I. The judge, God is the judge. What the pastor means by that is this. As Noah was living out righteousness, as he was living out a kingdom, what we would call in the New Testament, a kingdom lifestyle, kingdom of God lifestyle, as he was living that out, he was causing the rebellion and the sin of the people around him to come out in relief, to be clear, to be unmistaken. As he lived out the will of God, as he acted in faith and by fear, it caused the sin and the rebellion of others to stand out clearly. So the point is that Noah's life of righteousness and faith and obedience was like a warning to others. Or I like to think of it this way. It was a call to others to a better life. To a better life. As Noah lived a life of faith and righteousness and obedience, he was by example, maybe we don't know if Noah preached, but we know at least by his life that he was saying to others, there's a better life. There's a better way to walk. There's a better way to live. Let me tell you something this morning that you probably already know, and it's this. There are people around you who need to know there's a better life. There are people around you, maybe in your home, maybe at your work, maybe in your club, wherever you go, there are people around you who need to know there's a better way of living. They want it. They may not be able to say it exactly that way. They may not know the question mark in their life, but they want it. And by living it out, we're saying there's a better way of living. You can live by faith. You can live in righteousness. You can live in an understanding and a communion with the one true God. So as Noah was living this out in the midst of the darkness of sin around him, it was like a condemnation, a warning, a call to the people, there's something better. And then the author finishes it by saying, and he became heir, that is, Noah became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. To become an heir literally means to become a rightful possessor of. So the author here, the pastor, is saying, Noah became the rightful possessor of righteousness. God gave him righteousness. It's a gift, as faith is a gift. But he became the rightful possessor of that. Like an heir becomes the rightful possessor of that which is left to him or her. So he became a possessor of faith. You remember the Apostle Paul tells us that we are all the children of God, and our inheritance is the gift of faith, the gift of righteousness, the gift of communion with God, the gift of obedience. This morning, are you ready to receive that gift? Are you approaching God by faith? That you might receive your inheritance. Our inheritance today is faith. It's righteousness. It's obedience. May we be open to Him. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your love and grace to us. We thank you for your call upon our lives. And we thank you for the greatest gift of all, the gift of faith. Lord, may we be open each day, each moment of the day, to be ready to receive, to be a possessor of that great gift, that we might live by faith, and that we might experience you in your fullness in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.